Hi, I'm Jessica St. Clair.
And I'm June Diane Raphael.
And this is
The Deep Dive.
We're about to do what women have done for centuries. We're crowding around the fire with our generous haunches. We got babies hanging off our tits, and we're going to share with you our fears.
That's right. Our joys.
Our tips on how to stay alive.
Now, Jess, we are heeding a call that no one has made.
Not a soul, but you're invited to listen.
Absolutely, because we make one promise and one promise only. We will not Google a thing.
Because frankly, we're too damn tired.
Please get ready to go on
The Deep Dive. June.
Hey, hi, Jessica.
June.
Oh, Jess.
June, I want to be... I so want to be in a different spot. I want to bring a different energy. I do. I really do.
You know, I do too. And I wish Deep Diver really like tell you we're in a different space than the beginning of last week. But it appears that we ain't, you know. It appears that we ain't.
I don't know why in a Ralph's parking lot today after drop off. After I got kicked out of my own bed by my 8-year-old, out of my own bed, you know, I was like, let me just look at some pictures of Ukraine. I can't with these kids. I can't with these mommies and daddies trying to flee. I can't with the toys in the rubble. I can't, as a parent and a human being, handle this shit.
I
really appreciate those war reporters being there and just bringing us those pictures because, you know, I went right home and I was like, okay, let's donate more. You know, if that's that we need to not look away, you know, of what's happening. Of course, this is happening all over the world, you know, horrible atrocities. But I'm just, yeah, I just can't believe it's happening. And it feels very powerless, you know.
I do know, and I don't have, like, I wish I could be more buoyant today because a part of me is like, yeah, there's to face injustice and to face, you know, oppression on around us in our own lives and then in our country and then elsewhere. It's really difficult to not feel powerless, and yet it's not useful. And
no, it's
so
not
I'm
useful.
Trying to like build up my capacity and endurance for looking at the truth of things and also reminding myself of what position of power I am in my own life, that you're in, that we
right.
have so much agency over our own lives, what we do with our money and where we can put it. And not letting that kind of hopelessness seep in because it's very easy, right? You know, and I feel it too, Jess. Though I mean, I'm with you. I'm totally with you. It's really and should be hard.
Yeah, it should be. If it's not hard, then you're not looking, and that's why, you know. I would love to. Just make a call to the Deep Divers right now. If you are in a position to donate, even if it's $5, I'd love for you to put pause on this podcast right now and just go do it. You know, there's like 1 million links. We'll link one in our bio. I think I have one linked in my bio. But just go do it right now so you don't forget. And if you can't, we totally understand. And I know you'll be sharing your love in other ways, and we'll send light and love to those little kids. But it's the babies born in the bunkers. It's the babies born underground. It's the little children with their mommies in their little snow suits, you know, not understanding. I feel like we all are protectors of children. So that is just a crazy, crazy crazy thought and feeling to know, like, what would that be like? I really can put myself in those shoes, you know, even though I've never been there. I'm like, oh yeah, I get it. I get it. You'd be like, okay, let's get our snowsuit on. Let's get on the bus. You know, it's going to be okay. Who's got their toys? You know, Because the courage is, and I keep thinking about Mr. Rogers, and I said that to Bibi on the way to school again. I said, you might remember his famous episode, Look for the Helpers. That was such a beautiful, and I do urge parents to show that to their children, because I said, you know, I am looking to the helpers, I'm looking to the bravery of those people. I mean, I'm just so blown away by the courage that these people have shown. Just say, fuck it, we're not leaving. Like, we will make it a living hell for you to stay here.
Yeah, and some people can't leave. You know, I think that whole thing of like, oh, why don't they leave? Like, people...
They can't.
People can't leave, you know, also... When we talk about
the hurricane,
like,
think about
the United States and hurricane and swampland and like flood zones. I'm like, well, why don't you just leave? It keeps happening every year. Like, well, that's just simply not possible for many, many people. And Jessica, I do sort of put people in two buckets, and those buckets are you going to tell your friend that they have something in their teeth or not? And you have something in your teeth
currently?
Yeah.
You know what it is? It's some flaxseed.
And you know, we're on a Zoom, who cares? But I
no,
feel
but I don't
also
wanna
like
be that person.
Well, I don't care. You know, that one of my favorite moments of The Real Housewives of New York City was when Dorinda Medley said, someone said to her, oh, she has something on her face. And she said, yeah, I always have something on my face. And it was the most perfect line, because I really felt it like, oh, yeah, I always have something that someone's fixing on me.
I do. Sometimes when I feel my best, I always, because my teeth are huge.
Your teeth are beautiful.
You know,
but when
wonderful,
you have teeth that big and horse teeth, you know, I say that as a compliment, you're
no,
gonna.
And I take it as one, but yeah. I had a wonderful friend in high school and junior high who was obsessed with the idea there might be something in her teeth. And she was always like, is there something in my teeth? And I knew, like, if she's asking me, we're intimate and we're close, and I appreciated that. And now what I'm realizing is her worry was founded. We so often have something in our teeth. And she should be afraid, and she should ask a friend, and we should all. And that's, listen, we're pivoting to the shallow, but we kind of have to, because I can't stay here. I don't want to stay here. We want to be motivated. Okay, so we're at call to action. Let's every day think, what can we do? What can we do, you know, to bring a little bit of joy, not just to donating to the cause, but also to the people around us, you know? I'm going to go walk those rescue dogs tomorrow, visit Walter, who's 10 years old, little hound mix that Bibi's really campaigning to have come home with us. I mean,
wow.
A house full of elderly dogs seems insane, but she desperately wants to put him in an old-fashioned suit with a bowler hat. She said that's one of her dreams, is to see Walter live out his days treated like a king, but also see him go to work. See him as a commuter.
I did not know that you were walking the rescue dogs. That's a beautiful thing.
Well, we just started at Wags and Walks. And what a beautiful organization, because they take these dogs. A lot of them are pit bulls, you know, like dogs that, you know, would definitely be in a high kill situation. And holy shit, some of these dogs just want to be carried like babies. And the wonderful thing about Wags and Walks is they have like an abundance of volunteers. So these dogs, when you go to take them for walks, like they want to sleep. They're like, can you give me a minute?
Oh,
like
God.
Walter especially was like, oh, I need to rest, you know. And then Bibi has to figure out what it's Wags and Walks. Walks is not carrying Walter around.
Walter is the best name for a dog, by the way. Like, I don't think I've heard it before on a dog, but I'm just realizing how, because I've never seen this dog, but I know exactly who he is.
Go to my Instagram. You know? You'll see Bibi just like strangling Walter within an inch of his life. And again, like, we were getting looks like, get Walter walking. It's
right.
Not about
that's why you're
holding
here.
Walter.
Yeah. But, yeah.
But you adopted an older gentleman. And there is just such a regalness to an older dog, you know?
Listen, senior dogs to me are where it's at.
I kind of think they are.
They are where it's at. You know, I'm not, you know, I'm not, I appreciate puppies. I appreciate them from afar. I tip my hat to them and I wish them the very best, not but the best, you know, all my well wishes. But I have no desire to be with a puppy. Although that said, you know, as you know, I've had major trauma with Meatball this week. And
yes, please give us an update. Please give, because he's doing well.
Yeah. As many of you know, Meatball was recovering from essentially the ACL version for a dog surgery. He had been 3.5 weeks into that recovery, in which he had to be crated for 24 hours a day, could only go outside for 5 minutes to pee. I mean, it was really, it has been brutal. So,
yeah,
like, put that over there for a second, because this weekend he kind of took a strange turn and we were noticing things and he wasn't really eating and there were just some behavior.
That's a big sign
that we're eating not is a big right. sign. Yeah, but he's also on so many, he's still on so many pain medications that it's hard to parse out like what was what. And then on Monday morning, you know, Paul like screamed, "You got to come down here." And I ran down and it was very, very, it was very bad. It was very, very bad. I'm sure so many deep divers have had this experience with pets.
Yes.
Of like an emergency situation.
Oh God, it's, there's nothing worse.
It was really traumatizing. And he was trembling and had these tremors. Nope. And I was, and Paul said, "We got to take him to the hospital." And I said, "Okay." And I helped him into the car and Paul started driving. And I thought to myself, I don't think I'm going to see him again. And but meanwhile, I'm also like taking the kids to school and packing their lunches and also like screaming at them, you know, and
And they know, of course, they know something's going terribly wrong, but they don't really know.
Angry with them for not even asking where Meatball was, like didn't even.
Okay.
Don't worry, they did not even ask, where's our dog?
Yeah.
And so when we got in the car, I fucking lashed out. Like, you selfish. I got them, selfish brats, you know?
Oh, they got it.
You don't deserve an animal.
Oh, they really got it.
You know, they fucking got it from me. And... and then the rest of the drive was just like in silence.
I do regret
some of it, but not all of it.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you, not all of it.
Yeah.
So.
It's a big responsibility.
It's a big fucking responsibility.
And everybody needs to get their priorities in order.
These children have so goddamn much. Talk about kids in Ukraine, but they have so goddamn much that we talked to Michelle Kenny about this, but it really can get to me when
it's a trigger for me.
It's a very big trigger point for me. And so,
yeah,
you know, nobody worry, they're very well loved, but you know, I had to give them, and I knew I was getting out of control with what I was saying, but they were behaving like brats, and you know what, that's that.
Yeah.
So they heard it from me, and then
then they just go off to school, and then you're like, "Oh God, now I feel even worse."
Right, and then I was like, "Give me a hug!"
Oh God,
the biggest hug you've ever given. Like it was so like, mom is all over the fucking place. So I was also asking for like lots of love. It was all over.
Mom can be. That is also a lesson. It's if your mom should not be all over the place all the time.
No,
or even a lot of the time, but sometimes mom can be all over the place, and mom can even explain that afterwards. Mom was all over the place. Mom's very worried about Meatball. Right. And they learn a lesson about it's okay to be all over the place sometimes. It's okay to say things you don't mean. It's okay to say I'm sorry. And we love that person anyway. I believe.
I think you're right. I think you're right.
That's life.
That is life.
That's life. That you cannot expect. Why should you want them going through life expecting of themselves that they need to like keep their shit together all the time?
You're totally right. Yeah, you're totally right. And you know, Jess, I won't take the deep divers through all of it, but, you know, it was a really bad day because we were told that he had a 50-50 chance of leaving the hospital.
Oh, my God. I'm sorry. I just lay down in the street.
It was very, very hard. And Paul and I were just, you know, Paul finally came back because they told him to go home. And then they talked us through the surgery. We got the estimates. We got, you know, all of the information. They said, we'll call you when we open him up. Ultimately, his stomach was bleeding and they couldn't understand why. And he was septic and had pneumonia when he went in.
Well, yeah. So, like, if you had waited another couple hours, like, it was not thing was going to, yeah.
And so it was really bad. And then, of course, Paul and I were beside ourselves thinking, what did we not see this weekend that led us here to him arriving with pneumonia? Apparently, he had probably thrown up and
how did you not? Humans just want to blame themselves.
Paul is like, he's also a very stoic dog.
He hides it.
Yes.
They're not supposed to show you their pain.
That's what the ER vet said, is like he did not show you where he was at until he could no longer hide it.
Especially a bulldog. They're not bred for that.
I know. So it was incredibly upsetting. On Monday, I took to my bed.
Yeah.
You know, I shared with you, Jessica, and I shared with Cody and Jordan. I've also, and a couple of my friends, like, I've also been really struggling with mental health, and especially since having COVID.
Yes.
And that is continued, exacerbated by certain things that are going on circumstantially. But I also know that something is different. Like, I can tell that, yes, it's a hard time in the world. It's a hard time in my personal life, professional. There's just things going on that are a lot. But I also know that the thoughts I'm having, the level of weepiness, sadness, feeling
vulnerability,
like so gutted by things, vulnerability, rawness is, and just feeling like all hope is lost, you know, that it's different. And so I was really like, when this happened with Meatball, it was just like, I really felt like I can't, this is so crazy to say, but on Monday I was like, I can't survive this feeling without him.
I understand.
You know, I feel like I'm about to lose my best friend and I just don't know how to get through this without him. And I am not ready to say goodbye to him.
No.
And I, you know, for the pet owners out there who have to, like, this is what, and I'm a first time pet owner, so I really don't understand, but we don't have pet insurance and maybe we should have gotten it. I don't know. There was like so much debate around whether to get it or not. We didn't get it.
I don't have it either.
That's you don't have it either.
And I'm looking at bills that I'm like,
oh, Jessica, take your breath away.
Holy shit. You know, I know. And then they're, and like, who can afford this shit? And also, like, why should they? Pets are such a part of our families. Like, why are we making it so impossible to afford? Fuck
well,
that.
Well, believe me, I got into last night, they've allowed us to go visit him in the hospital the last 3 nights. And last night I got into it with the office manager at the hospital he was
you
at.
You said, because, sharpen that pencil, friend.
Well, we were given a low end and a high end estimate of what the surgery would cost. And we also, you know, really asked to understand what the aftercare situation was, because honestly, with his knee surgery, I do not feel we were adequately prepped.
No, and welcome to human release from the hospital. Okay.
That's very true. It's like surgeons are doing their thing and they don't give a fuck what happens afterward. Like, and to be honest, I understand, like, they're so focused on like, is the surgery successful? And then another team comes in, but it's not a cohesive, like,
no, it's not.
It's just not nobody's talking to each other. So it's like all these different fucking agencies who don't know. So,
cause he didn't just get sepsis because of nothing. This was a result of that last surgery and there should have been.
It wasn't.
It wasn't?
No.
It was on its own?
Yeah.
How is that possible? Well, it wasn't
because of the— Believe me, I asked that 5 minutes.
Trauma
times.
His I'm body like, could have gone through?
No. They had to remove, and I still don't know if it's cancerous or not, like two things that were building on his stomach that a cyst essentially burst.
I see.
Nothing to do with the knee surgery. Nothing. They were like, it's just a horrible timing for him, but it had, one had nothing to do with the other. This is the thing about trauma, right? And like close calls and all that. I don't have to fucking tell you this, Jessica, but it's like your body still went through that, though. It's like you still went through the process.
Yes.
And
you can't skip it. The fact you went to bed was exactly the right call. You went to bed after that, right?
I was in bed. And that's another thing I've been really struggling with is getting ready for the day, like blowing out my hair, you know, putting my clothes on. And this was, of course, one of the first mornings I was upstairs getting ready, like half ready. And this has to do with sort of like the kind of post-COVID. And I've also been told that it clears up and
it does
that. I'm looking at
your friend who had it 6 weeks. Yeah. But talk about post-care. Mm-hmm. This is the first time I'm hearing that you could feel like crying for 6 weeks and that all hope is lost. And I bet that's happening to so many people. I've heard insomnia. I've heard crippling anxiety, like that you can't breathe. Like, where are these people telling us that? They don't know. I don't know.
I think there's so much that we don't know yet. But I have heard from a bunch of women who told me, one of my girlfriends really went through the same thing, and she's been really helpful.
Yep. Good.
And said, like, same feelings, really dark thoughts. And I was like, oh, God, thank God. I mean, I don't wish that for her, but, like, thank God. And so I do think it will pass. I have enough. I'm floating above it enough to know that, like, I don't think I'll feel this way forever, but it was one of the first days where I was like, felt motivated in the early morning to get showered and dressed. And then I was like, I immediately, after the boys were dropped off, I came home and got back into pajamas and got into bed. Is this a dog podcast?
Is this Must Love Dogs? Should we change this to, like,
honestly,
to
like
be
totally
a podcast
possum,
that just talks
like,
about Must Love Dogs or like Turner and Hooch, and every week we do. Is there a Channing Tatum? Looks like there's a Channing Tatum one about a German Shepherd that
believe
obviously
me,
we need to watch it.
I
maybe we need to watch that one.
Maybe we need to let some release. I wrote a kind of a saucy comment back to someone who wrote on my Instagram page after last week's episode. And if this deep diver is listening right now, I really want you to know that I really believe I understood the spirit of your comment, but I'm going to share why it didn't sit well with me. Mm-hmm. And the comment was something along the lines of like, June, you seem lighter.
Oh, yes, I saw that.
Okay. You seem lighter, sharing stories about your parents. Does it heal you or have you been healed? It seems like you found some healing or something. And it really didn't sit well with me. And I just wrote back, nope, not healed. Send.
Right.
Nope, not healed. Because why did it sit so poorly with me? I just resist. And I offer the story about like finding some healing through meatball situation. But the idea that it is a like, that there's a beginning, middle, and end.
Yeah.
That there's a feeling of being healed, that's over with.
Yeah.
That you're over your cancer, that you got through it. And it's not to say that this podcast doesn't offer that both for ourselves and hopefully for the listeners, and that we find a lot of joy and laughs and pain and all this stuff. Like, yes. My experience with my girlfriends is healing always. Healing.
But not healed.
And I guess this is like the thing, right? Like what, talking about what's going on in Ukraine, what Are we expecting to reach a point where we do not feel pain, where things don't get activated, where we don't connect to the feeling of being a child who doesn't know what's going on?
Yeah.
And feels fear. Like I guess maybe that's my pushback on like the self-care industry in general, is that we're looking to sort of optimize ourselves, optimize like our healing. And I'm like, fuck that. You know, I have deep grief that is not going to be healed in this lifetime. Sorry to burst the bubble. I hope to reconnect at maybe after I die with my parents, with, you know, but I don't.
No,
it doesn't mean that I'm like in a state of grief where I can't function. And I guess maybe what I react to is the idea that I somehow, and I think people have this experience with grief, that they want to take it away from you.
Yeah.
And I'm like, no, that's mine. That is absolutely mine. Or that you were
bumming someone out. It's like, that's, and yes. I really feel this deep diver was coming from all sorts of love.
1,000%.
So we're not actually speaking about that specific comment. It's more like what that brings up. And
Yes, what that brings up.
And I feel like, June, and I'm speaking now to anybody who's recovered from a trauma, but specifically from cancer, I fucking flipped out. I lost it because I think I was like, I'm done. I should feel happy. Why do I feel so awful? Like I wanted to rip my skin off, burn my whole house to the ground. But it was like, but it was done. I was cured. So why did I feel so awful? So then I started looking around. It must be the exterior. It must be something else. My life, my career, my relationships, I got to fix everything. And had I been able and had people given me space, and I mean by people, I mean society, to just feel like garbage. And somebody had aftercare-wise said, hey, you might feel so angry you can't see straight. You know, that might happen. I could have avoided a lot of violence that happened to myself and to, you know, my world around me. So it's dangerous. It's dangerous to put grief away, to think you should put it away, to put it away too soon. And that's why, again, not to bring it back to just like that, but that's...
I didn't think, you know, I...
And maybe it is a podcast about just like that.
And that's fine, too.
Yeah.
You know, if it's simply okay a recap podcast of just like that episode. All of this is to say that, you know, we're in a constant investigation of like what this podcast is and why this podcast is. And we're no closer to the answers there.
You know, we're lost
in the woods.
Lost in the fucking muck of it all, you know?
Yeah.
But I guess healing, maybe that word healing, maybe healed, the idea that we need to be healed, that I'm not already healed, that being healed is actually living with pain, living with grief, because it provides me a greater capacity for being in the moment, for speaking my truth, for
feeling for others, pain, empathy for others.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That is a beautiful motivator that I have, like perspective that I love.
Yeah.
So I just offer that. Mm-hmm. It's been a week. I was hoping you were in a better place. I was hoping to start off with what was in your teeth.
I was better yesterday. I was better yesterday. Cody has something to share with us.
Oh, let's see. The chat's blowing up.
The chat, I heard a really beautiful saying on grief, that it doesn't go away, but it becomes a nostalgic ache.
I think that's beautiful. I wish I could say that what I experience is ache. You know, I'm not going to say unfortunately. A lot of times for me, it shows up as anger.
Anger. Well, is that, and do you feel like that anger? Because when I'm in DBT, I'm always like, they're like, let's share what, you know, what emotion were we trying to work with this week? And I'm always like, rage. And they're like, okay.
People don't love to hear it, Jess.
Well, no, again, I mean, they're just
I
like,
I think this podcast again. Might be about our rage. People don't love to hear about rage.
They're like, what level was your rage? I'm like, 100. They're like, okay.
Okay. It doesn't sit well for folks.
Yeah, right. I was at 100. But always underneath, of course, is shame, sadness.
Mm.
You know, and sure. So then, and it's like, and this, yeah, like, yeah, sadness, longing, you know?
Yeah. Yep. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, 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 yeah.
It's the oldest.
I mean, listen, I remember was with my therapist and I spent 10 years with my therapist and I was in analysis and all that jazz. And as many deep divers probably know, because I've shared it before, I would fall asleep a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would fall asleep.
So weird.
So strange.
Strange.
And then wake up and report what I was dreaming about.
It's so strange.
It was like exhaustion would come over me.
Well, and yeah, because
I would go there to sleep.
Yeah, your nervous system was flooded. So that's actually, again, anytime you want to, listen, and then depression is different when you take to bed and you can't get out. But I do feel like we're trying to teach our kids, like, when an emotion comes, it's your body trying to tell you something. It's trying to communicate with you something that you need to do. And sometimes that is go to bed. Now, do we have to pay to someone to watch us sleep?
Nah. I know.
Sometimes and it's sometimes the guy it's doing your nails.
You know, yeah.
And that's actually nice because if we could, you know, multitask, so we're getting something out of that.
But that's what I felt like I was doing because honestly, analysis, you do talk about your dreams and there is dream analysis. And so I did feel like I could at least provide that in real time.
Really strange.
But there was one time, because what I struggled with a lot in therapy was performing for my therapist, you know, performing myself, performing, like trying to make her laugh, trying to show her how wonderful I was.
God, me too.
And then one time, I don't remember what it was about, I really let out my anger.
Yeah.
And I mean, pretty, not 100. I didn't go 100.
Yeah.
I was at like 80%.
Yeah.
And we're in a small room together. This is before I spent many years on the couch, like looking up. But in the very, this was like, I don't know why, but for some reason I was sitting in the chair still looking at
her.
And I saw a flash of fear.
And she's seen all manners of things in that room. God. So if she's scared, you really were going nuts.
Listen, and I was just like, can she handle me?
Yeah. Yeah.
Can she? Because I'm not at 100 right now. And to be honest, I'm like, I also understood someone's losing their shit. And like, you're 2 feet away from them in a small room. Like, where will this go?
You know,
I understood.
Right.
Yeah. My voice was being raised. I was cursing. I was, you know, I was letting it out.
Yeah.
And I didn't bring it up to her. I think I brought it up to her years later where I said, I thought you were scared of me. And that made me pull back.
Well, and that's the thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's the thing about being a child, because Michelle Kenny, again, is this a Michelle Kenny podcast?
This is a Michelle Kenny Stan podcast.
Is this a Peace in Parenting knockoff recap? I just keep going back. I was like, go to her like, hey, I gotta figure out how to stop these, you know, what seemed like tantrums. And she was like, no.
Why?
No, the point is they've got to release. At the end of the day, they have to release all of those feelings. And you need to show them that they're not too much for you.
Well, that's something that I've really appreciated about you, Jess, because I've never felt like I couldn't share shameful things with you.
Oh, I'm so glad to hear that. I will never judge. You could come to me and be like, I killed somebody.
I do feel like you'd be like, okay, where do we bury the body?
Again, I am from New Jersey, and is this a mafia podcast? Maybe.
But that's a really special thing. That's a really special thing.
Well, I feel the same exact way about you, June. And I know you actually saw me in the garden, I remember, of the Jane Club when I was deep in my burn it all down phase. And I was surrounded by candles and, you know, white flowers and glass vases. And I was just like, I don't know what to do. You know, and you were just like, I hear you. You didn't try to fix it. You know, I hear you. I don't think you're a bad person for feeling so fucked up. You know, and in fact, a lot of weird feelings like interactions like that happened at the Jane Club. I missed the physical space.
Me too.
Because it was weird. People would be like answering emails, sometimes writing thank you notes. And then I would encounter one of our friends and we would like hold each other and, you know, yes. Say some of our most scared feelings while at the Keurig pods. You know,
I will tell you, Cool Up did something for me a few weeks ago where I put it on a group text and I said, I have to share these really like this really shameful thing. And I basically said something like, I'm having really like not generous feelings, not generous. And I said, and I want to share them. And I said something about what it was about. And she just wrote back, I'll sit with you. Oh. And I just burst into tears.
Oh, Cool Up.
Is that not the most beautiful thing you've ever heard?
Cool Up is absolutely somebody who has been to the mountain.
I'll sit with you.
Oh, God.
You know, it was like, I'm not going to make beautiful. It okay. I'm not going to.
I'm not surprised. That's Cool Up.
It was so beautiful.
That's Cool Up. Brené Brown has the most amazing drawing, a cartoon about what, I think it's what empathy is. And it's a little rabbit, and I'll post it on my Instagram. It's a little rabbit at the bottom of like a well, basically, like a hole. And one of the panels is another rabbit yelling down, hey, are you okay? Can I get you something? And the other panel is the rabbit says, like, I'm so sad. And the other rabbit says, hold on, I'm climbing down in there. And then the rabbit sits with the other rabbit and says, I'll be here with you. That's it. And it's often not really, truly the hardest thing to do with your children, with your friends, with your spouse, because to see your friend in pain is so horrible. To see your child in pain is so horrible. But we have to sit there with them.
I am reminded of the image of your dad, and this is where it's going to turn into a recap episode of the last episode, but the image of your dad after you, as a Susan in your own right, were Susaned.
Yep.
And him sitting on the bed with you to let you just bawl was just so powerful to me. It is really hard. Now, Jessica, what the other thing that's here that has left me feeling really topsy-turvy today is I just updated my computer yesterday.
Okay.
So, and I know this is a major gear shift, but please trust me when I tell you it is related.
Okay.
Because I get all those notifications of like time to update software update, all that stuff.
Oh, I ignore them like I would a voicemail.
Thank you.
And they say, you want to remind me tomorrow? I go, yeah, I'm not going to listen to you, but you can go and do whatever you want. You can do whatever you want.
Whatever makes you feel okay about
great. Remind me tomorrow.
Remind me in 10 minutes. Like, whatever you need.
Because I'm going to click no. It's not a good time.
But I'm clicking no every single time.
Okay. Yes.
And For whatever reason, yesterday, I thought I spent the afternoon organizing. It felt really good because I was...
Great idea, great skill.
I was really lost. And I thought my
great skill.
Office, my space, Meatball's harnesses and all of his fucking physical therapy stuff was everywhere. My desk was out of control.
Of course.
And I will remind deep divers, way back, there was an episode where I talked about this man has sent me my license back from the Staples Center.
Yes.
And I had his address and his like little note on my desk for
but just one, couldn't
whenever
get
that
it
was.
In a stamp on it. It's like, what the fuck?
I mean, now listen, is it still here on the desk? Yes. But it's closer to getting out because it's now got a stamp on it. It's now with another envelope that also needs to go out. So I did a level of organizing yesterday that was
great.
Really scratched an itch for me and helped me feel like I could see through like the muck.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
I was getting stuck on stupid over here. I was getting stuck on like, why even fucking try? Because look at your desk.
As we know, HSPs, we can't.
And you've said this before, and it actually, like, it rang true. And I just thought, I gotta get a better system in place.
Oh, me too.
And so I spent like an hour yesterday, put on my Dateline podcast.
Great.
Relaxed to the sounds of many women being slaughtered by their husbands.
So strange. I'm watching The Gilded Age,
yes,
and you're doing that.
We have different...
Same with Lennon. Yeah, we differ.
We differ there, but I organized.
Yeah.
Now, in that moment, I thought, it is the time for an update. It is the time. I'm going to click yes.
Okay. Who knows how long
it's never the right time. Yeah. It was an overnight situation. It was basically like, we're going to strip your computer down to the studs.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. It's probably it was like 1997 the last time you... Yeah.
Now, guess who clicks on yes every single time that comes
Paul.
Up? Of course.
Paul, and schedules it in his calendar, time to update, and then,
so
plugs it in.
So happy to update.
I know it. God bless him.
Okay, and...
God bless him.
I updated, and now I just got to my computer before I knew we were about to talk, and everything's different.
Yeah.
Everything's different. And I don't know how I feel about it, but like, the font looks different everywhere.
Just like that.
And just like that. It's like, it's almost, it looks like an Android a bit. Like, it looks like the way, it looks like a totally different operating system.
Are they doing that to us?
My mail looks different, Jessica.
That's why I'm never going to click it. But you saw, they were like, we're not going to record this podcast.
I will tell the deep divers. So I did click it and I'm up and running. But when Jessica tried to record her QuickTime this morning, she was told that she didn't have enough memory. So I do think you should click it.
Well, and then you guys were like, oh, have you ever emptied your trash? And I was like, what? It's a trash can. It should empty itself. It doesn't. So many big files in there. So empty our trash. We got to empty our trash. I also am reading a book called, and I know we got to wrap this up. I could stay on for 4 hours.
like we just started.
I'm really settling in right now. I want to throw out some things that I've been watching, doing, sharing. The deep divers, God damn it. God damn it. Do they share all the tips and tricks with us?
I was so relieved, and I want to hear what you want to share, Jess, but I was so relieved. The thing that made me so happy about last week's Susan episode and what would be the experience of being a Susan. And I did feel like afterward, I was like, oh, I think I don't want to present myself as only being a victim of Susan. I also I was thinking about one friend of mine that I believe I wasn't a Susan, but I was Susan-like in moments. And so it was really powerful to share that and to hear from moms right now who have daughters who are going through that.
Oh, that's interesting. I didn't hear from any of those.
I heard from a lot of mothers whose daughters are in the midst of being Susan'd and how painful it is for them to hear that.
Yes. Yes.
And, you know, then they offered, I mean, there were so many beautiful DMs about, like, to see you and Jessica turn out so well. I mean, they should listen to maybe this week's episode, and they might have a different opinion.
I might want to take those their kids in a different direction.
Yeah.
But there was I got a lot of DMs, makes sense, about, like, you should, you know, reach out to the person you Susaned, because I was a Susan, and I mean, I was Susaned, and it would mean a lot to me. But one was so beautiful. So this woman said she had a best friend. They were inseparable from, like, kindergarten to eighth grade. And then when they went to separate high schools, her Susan ghosted her. And I have two stories to tell. This actually has a happy ending. The other one also, I'll just share. The first one said they went separate high schools and this Susan ghosted her. And she made several attempts, but they saw each other in the past 17 years, like twice, three times, and they had nothing in common. And it was just so painful. Okay. And so then this deep diver's dad dies and her Susan gets in touch with her and says, "I'm coming over." She came over every day for like 2 months, right, June?
Yeah,
is that right?
Something like that.
And they have been inseparable ever since. What a beautiful, beautiful story.
And what a reminder that it's never too late. And just like that, Susan's back, you know?
Susan's back. I swear to God, I feel like I'm reading novels when people write. These deep divers are writing me the most beautiful stories of
beautiful
triumph and heartbreak and loss and
really stunning. And I wish I could respond. That's my mental illness.
My mental illness is I do respond to everything. And I'm taking hours and hours out of my day because I feel so, like, connected to these people. But also, one of them shared a serum. Now I'm sharing it before I try it.
That's not unusual for you.
Try it. It's called Babe Lash. B-A-B-E Lash. It's
an eyelash growing serum, Jess.
Yes.
Okay. I want to put a special, like, trigger warning on this episode.
Trigger warning if you don't want good lashes?
Who knows what these things are? Like, I don't want to be responsible for is, like, an army of
women blinding themselves.
Blinding themselves, showing up without any eyelashes. Like, I don't want to take on the responsibility of women's eyelashes. That is too a burden.
I'm carrying them. When there's one steps of footsteps, that was when I was carrying you. I will be trying it. And in 2 months, I'm going to have fucking great lashes. Now, listen, in the meantime, I've been putting on those strips and they're absolutely changing the game. And I've gotten so good at it. I'm not wearing them right now, but for all of my important Zooms, I'm throwing on those strips.
Okay. I have an idea.
Okay.
I would love to consider. Now, we may have something in the works. I don't want to give anyone this is not an announcement, but there may be something in the works in terms of the deep dive, some sort of live show. We may have a tablescaping contest. There's things in the works, okay?
Yes.
But I also want to throw out there, Jessica, that if we were able to do some sort of a live show, and maybe there's a virtual live show where we make sure that every deep diver gets a set of false eyelashes, a strip, and then you could really do a tutorial, because this is the thing about
the kiss lashes. You have to get the right ones. It's these kiss lashes, and a lot of deep divers were like, please post the one that you ordered from Amazon. There's so many different ones. I have to post these. Because I straight up went to lunch with Lennon. That bitch didn't know I was wearing them.
Oh. And she is a witch.
Certified. I waited all damn. It was a 2-hour luncheon. And I'd be fluttering those at her. I was fluttering those at her. Like, you notice?
She didn't say boo.
Nope. In fact, she'll be hearing about it on this podcast.
Wow.
That's how good these lashes are.
Wow, Jess. Okay.
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 Okay. Okay.
We've been talking for an hour and 20 minutes.
We got to wrap it up.
We have to get off because we have a pre-interview for the Kelly Clarkson show.
And I do want to talk about your hair and makeup for Kelly Clarkson. I still don't know what we're doing. Are you coming over here?
Yeah, I was going to come over there.
Okay,
can I come over there?
Of course you can.
Let's do it.
Wonderful. I just wanted to make sure. I didn't know. Were you doing your own eyelashes?
No.
Okay, great. Deep divers, it has been an hour and 17 minutes since we've been recording. We will be cutting some of this down and cutting
will
some
we?
Of this out. Maybe
will
we'll
we?
Just let it we'll let it ride. We thank you. I you know, sometimes I'll probably snap at people in the comment section, but you know, again, I'm trying to live my most authentic self and my most authentic life. So I can't really apologize.
But I will. That.
But Jessica will absolutely be probably in the comment right after me making good.
I saw that comment, actually took it very differently. And so I wanted that deep diver to know, like, I see them, I feel them. And, you know, okay. Cody's like, please wrap this up, guys. We're going to lose all of our listeners. Oh, and also remember our goal, 1 million downloads.
Oh, yeah.
Please, please, please be sharing this, guys. Each one teach one.
Yes, so many of you have been telling your friends and posting about it. We so appreciate it. And please continue to do that. Yes. We'll see you next week.
Bye, guys.
Let's go on the deep dive. Let's go dive in deep. Let's go on the deep dive. No secrets. It's June and Jessica, going deep. How deep can you go? Oh, really deep. Let's go on the deep dive. Let's go diving deep.
The Deep Dive is produced by Jessica St. Clair, June Diane Raphael, and Earwolf. Our producer is Cody Fisher and sound engineer Jordan Duffy. You can listen to our ad-free and bonus episodes on Stitcher Premium. And for a free one-month trial of Stitcher, use code DEEPDIVE. And remember, the best way to support this show is to rate and review.
And a huge thank you to Ann Geddes for her beautiful photo that she allowed us to use for our cover art. Please head over to AnnGeddesBaby.com and download her new app, which is a safe place you can upload and store all of your precious images of your children and share them with friends and family, plus much more.
We'll see you next time.